Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a close look at a really significant proposal aimed at empowering Europe's youth.
That's right. It's called Reskill for Youth: Resilience, Future Skills, and AI Literacy for Youth. Local action for Europe's Pact 4 skills.
It's an Erasmus Plus cooperation partnership application, specifically for the 2025 call, round two, and it presents a very comprehensive strategy. Our goal here, our mission in this deep dive, is really to clearly lay out the core elements and the strategic advantages of this initiative.
Focusing on that innovative approach to youth empowerment and its potential impact across Europe, it seems quite ambitious.
Exactly. We want to provide a precise overview of how Reskill for Youth aims to tackle some urgent European needs, outlining its pathway, essentially, from individual well-being right up to systemic policy influence.
And something particularly noteworthy right from the start is the truly trans-European design of this partnership. It's quite broad. Well, it strategically spans northern, western, southern, and Mediterranean Europe. It connects key cities. You've got Stockholm, Amsterdam, Halle, Valencia, and Bologna.
Ah, so a real mix.
Precisely. It creates this diverse trans-European network model. And it seems specifically engineered for developing and testing solutions in youth reskilling across different contexts.
That geographical reach sounds fundamental then, making sure the approaches work in different places.
Absolutely. It's crucial for validating the methodologies, ensuring they're adaptable across, you know, the distinct realities you find across Europe.
Okay, so let's unpack the core ambition. Reskill for Youth is designed to bolster Europe's Pact 4 skills initiative.
Right, by equipping disadvantaged young people, giving them essential resilience, digital skills, green competences, and also entrepreneurial abilities.
So it's taking local youth actions and trying to scale them, transform them into real EU-level impact.
Yes, and in doing so, it directly contributes to those 2030 upskilling targets the EU has set.
And also broader European policy priorities.
Yeah.
Things like digital transformation, youth employability.
Yeah. And active citizenship, exactly. Right. The structure seems geared towards delivering tangible, recognized benefits, not just for the young participants, but for European society more broadly.
It sounds like it's tackling some quite pressing issues.
It really is. This project directly confronts several critical and often overlapping challenges that young people face across Europe.
Such as?
Well, we still see persistently high NEET rates, young people. Not in education, employment, or training. You know, figures like Italy's 19.8%, Spain's 12.5% in 2023 are significant.
And it's not just NEETs, is it?
No, migrant unemployment is also a serious concern. Germany, for instance, reported 13.8%. And layered on top of these economic and social issues are increasing well-being problems among youth.
Mental health challenges.
Yes, reflected in rising scores on indicators like a WHO-5 well-being index, it points towards increased stress. And all this is happening while the EU has set these ambitious 2030 skills targets.
The 60% training engagement, 80% basic digital skills.
Precisely those. So the overarching objective of Reskill for Youth becomes quite clear. It's multifaceted.
Empowering disadvantaged youth.
By systematically building resilience and well-being first, then developing EU-recognized digital, green, and entrepreneurial skills. And importantly, strengthening their participation, their voice in policy.
It seems well aligned with EU priorities then.
Extremely. It directly aligns with key EU youth goals, #5 on well-being, #7 on quality employment for all, and #9 on space and participation. Plus, it's woven into the EU skills agenda and the Digital Education Action Plan. Very strategic.
Now, a pivotal aspect you mentioned, perhaps the foundational strength, lies in Work Package 2, WP2.
That's the one focused on youth resilience and well-being pathways.
Building resilience and peer support as the foundation for learning and participation. That emphasis seems critical.
It really is, because, you know, experience shows that without that strong foundation of mental health and coping strategies, other training initiatives often struggle. They don't stick.
So it's acknowledging that emotional readiness is fundamental, a prerequisite for learning and participation.
Absolutely. It's a strategic starting point.
So how does WP2 actually plan to achieve this? What are the activities?
Well, it's a carefully designed sequence. First, there are the youth well-being labs.
Led by Jorza Perspective Schmid from Germany, right?
Correct. 8 participatory workshops for about 100 young people. They integrate insights from neuroscience, stress management techniques, emotional literacy, even eco-awareness.
Creating safe spaces, essentially.
Yeah.
For growth. Reducing anxiety.
Exactly. And crucially, they'll measure the impact. A key outcome is a WHO5 evaluation report.
With a target.
Yes, aiming for at least 70% of participants showing measurable improvement in well-being that provides concrete evidence-based data.
Okay, what follows the labs?
Next comes resilience training, led by Fondazione Don Giovanni Zanandrea Onlus from Italy. 10 sessions, again, for 100 youth.
And the focus there?
Specifically on skills like conflict resolution and peer support coaching, equipping young people to manage their own challenges, but also to effectively support their peers and communities.
Building a support network within the group.
Precisely. And to capture their experiences, they plan 20 youth well-being podcasts. These will be entirely youth-led, amplifying their voices.
That sounds engaging. And there's an AI component, too.
Yes. Led by EduAgility from the Netherlands, they'll run 8 AI co-design labs. Here, youth use accessible AI tools to actually gamify peer support practices.
Turning resilience methods into interactive scenarios.
Exactly. It enhances digital literacy and gives them real ownership. This culminates in co-creating an interactive game peer support guide.
A practical, replicable resource.
Correct. Consolidating the knowledge into a digital guide for associated partners to use.
So reflecting on WP2, that decision to start with well-being, it's more than just a nice to have.
Oh, absolutely. It's a strategic imperative. Well-being and resilience, they are the fundamental prerequisites for sustained learning, for active participation, and ultimately for successful integration into the labor market.
Because traditional skills programs often stumble if these underlying issues aren't addressed.
Precisely. Retention suffers, long-term impact is limited. WP2 systematically tackles these foundational needs first. It ensures young people are emotionally prepared, stable enough to really engage with the skills training and policy discussions that come later.
It feels like quite an innovative step in youth projects.
It is, and it directly addresses that EU youth goal, #5 on well-being, showing a deep understanding of how you build capacity effectively, starting from the ground up.
Okay, so once that resilience and emotional foundation is laid in WP2, the project moves on.
Yes, it builds directly on that foundation with Work Package 3.
WP3. Future Skills and Youth Empowerment, Equipping Disadvantaged Youth for Europe's Green and Digital Transition. So this is where the tangible skills come in.
Exactly. Equipping them for the modern European economy.
And the activities here.
Jove Solids from Spain leads the skills sprints and validation. These are AI-enhanced, gamified training sprints for 100 youth.
Focused on specific competencies.
Yes. Digital skills via DigComp, green skills via GreenComp, and entrepreneurial skills through EntreComp. All aligned with Europe's established frameworks.
And critically, these skills are formally recognized.
That's a key point. Participants receive 100 EuroPass digital credentials, verifiable proofs of skills, and to 100 YouthPass certificates recognizing the non-formal learning.
Which should really boost employability.
Significantly. It aligns perfectly with the EU's push for micro-credential recognition. Then, MI Akademien from Sweden facilitates youth-led eco-social micro-projects.
Putting skills into practice.
Precisely. 12 initiatives where young people apply their new skills to address local challenges. Things like waste management, maybe civic tech solutions.
And the aim is for these projects to last.
Yes. The goal is for at least 8 initiatives to be sustained beyond the project's funding. It fosters real confidence and leadership.
And then the evidence is gathered.
Correct. Die Perspektive in Schmien from Germany consolidates the data and youth experiences into an evidence report and youth testimonies. This provides robust input for future policy work.
What strikes me about WP3 is how it connects that foundational well-being from WP2 to very concrete, verifiable skills and action.
Exactly. It moves beyond just theory. Validating skills with trusted EU credentials for disadvantaged youth especially, that provides a critical stamp of credibility. It can open doors that informal learning alone might not.
And the eco-social projects.
They provide real-world experience, certainly, but they also feed directly into the EU Social Economy Action Plan's objectives. It shows a clear, practical link between individual development and broader economic strategies.
So we have resilience built in WP2, tangible skills acquired and applied in WP3. The next logical question is, how does this translate into broader systemic change?
And that's precisely the focus of Work Package 4.
WP4. Youth Check Labs and Policy Uptake, Transforming Youth Experiences into Policy Recommendations and Systemic Change. This is where local actions meet the European level.
Yes, strategically amplified. Fondazione Don Giovanni Zanandrea Onlus from Italy will organize Youth Check Labs. 4 are planned across partner countries.
What happens in these labs?
They're structured participatory workshops. Disadvantaged youth engage directly with NGOs, employers, policymakers. They test and validate policy ideas based on their own experiences and the skills they've gained.
Directly operationalizing that EU youth goal, hashtag 9, space and participation for all.
Exactly, creating real avenues for youth influence. Then, EduAgility from the Netherlands supports the youth in co-creating 6 policy notes.
Drafting recommendations.
Concise, actionable recommendations based on their experiences. And a key target is getting at least 3 validated by stakeholders, NGOs, employers, ensuring credibility and relevance.
And the cross-country collaboration ensures diverse perspective.
It does. It ensures the policy notes reflect a broad spectrum of European realities, not just one local context.
What happens with these policy notes?
Joe Solids in Spain consolidates them into a comprehensive cross-country policy briefing pack. This is designed specifically for national and EU audiences.
A structured, evidence-based package for policymakers.
Precisely. And finally, MIR Akademin from Sweden leads the engagement with Pack for Skills ecosystems.
Disseminating the findings.
Strategically disseminating these youth-driven recommendations within relevant Pact for Skills areas, digital, social economy, creative industries, health and care, aiming to reach at least 500 key stakeholders.
So if we look at the bigger picture, WP4 really is that crucial link. It demonstrates the ripple effect.
It absolutely is. Local actions like the microprojects in WP3 and the insights from WP2 aren't just documented. They're systematically translated into policy-ready outputs.
The policy notes, the briefing pack.
Which then feed directly into established European frameworks, importantly supported by the Pact 4 skills. This process ensures grassroots innovation, lived experience, directly informs EU objectives.
It fundamentally shifts the role of youth.
From passive recipients to active contributors to policy, it bridges that often talked about gap between individual experience and strategic decision making, making the Pact for Skills genuinely more inclusive.
Okay, so to make sure all this impactful work has a lasting legacy, beyond just the project's timeline, we have Work Package 5.
WP5. Communication, exploitation, and pact engagement, amplifying youth voices, sharing results, and ensuring long-term impact.
It's all about reach and sustainability.
How will they manage communication? The Perspective Schmiede in Germany sets up the overall communication and dissemination plan for coherent outreach. EduAgility in the Netherlands maintains the central project website and digital campaigns.
And youth are involved in outreach too.
Very directly. Jove Solids in Spain trains youth to create 10 authentic youth-led campaigns on platforms like TikTok and Instagram.
Peer-to-peer outreach.
Yes, aiming for each campaign to reach at least 5,000 peers. This empowers them as digital creators, aligning well with the EU Digital Education Action Plan.
And what about ensuring the methods are reusable?
Fondazione Don Giovanni Zanandrea Onlus in Italy develops an exploitation and sustainability toolkit, a practical guide for replication and adaptation.
And it culminates in a conference.
Yes, MIR Akademien in Sweden hosts the final conference, aiming for at least 100 participants. The goal there is to secure concrete, long-term commitments for using the project's outputs.
So WP5 really focuses on ensuring the impact doesn't just stop when the funding does.
Exactly. Its strategic importance lies there. By integrating youth-led communication, which brings authenticity and reach, and providing that practical toolkit, the project's methods and results become replicable models.
And the Pact 4 skills engagement is key for embedding it systemically.
Crucial. It ensures these youth-driven solutions aren't isolated efforts. They get integrated into wider European skill strategies, contributing to systemic change locally, regionally, nationally, and at the European level. It establishes a clear pathway for longevity.
So looking back over this deep dive into RESCL for Youth, it really does reveal a meticulously designed and strategically integrated project.
It addresses critical needs with what seems like a genuinely innovative approach.
Moving systematically from that individual resilience building in Germany and Italy.
Through comprehensive skill development and formal recognition in Spain and Sweden.
To directly influencing policy via the Netherlands and across Europe. It offers a coherent, evidence-based pathway for youth empowerment.
It consistently connects those local youth actions to the overarching European policy objectives, demonstrating that clear ripple effect amplified by the Pact 4 Skills framework.
And the commitment to measurable outcomes, formal recognition through EU micro-credentials, and that genuine youth-led advocacy. It really positions it as a potentially significant contributor to Europe's digital and green transitions.
Absolutely. And this comprehensive pathway, from nurturing well-being and skills right through to influencing policy, all strategically integrated with initiatives like Pact 4 Skills, it does prompt an important consideration for you, our listener.
Which is.
How might this model, RESCL for Youth, serve as a scalable and adaptable blueprint for inclusive youth empowerment across other critical sectors within Europe?
Because the fundamental aim seems broader than just skills.
Precisely. It's not merely about reskilling youth. It's about empowering them to be truly active architects of Europe's future, fostering a more resilient, more inclusive European society for everyone.